I don't know what Pentecost means to you particularly. I remember growing up, I seem to remember Sunday school, because we had a very good Sunday school in our little village where I grew up in Leicestershire. And the only thing I remember was sort of drawings of men sitting around a table and fire on their heads. And I used to think, what a strange thing. And then I remember someone saying how Peter, who'd always been such a troublemaker and such a problem to God, stood up and preached. And loads of people got saved. And that was really all I ever knew about Pentecost. I don't know about you. And to be honest, that was really all I really knew about it, even for a number of years, at least 3 years, after I became a Christian. Pentecost was something that just happened, but it didn't really register with me. I don't know whether it did with you. I pray it did. But I don't know how well you remember things. Because if you were here a year ago, you would remember that Phil wasn't here. And I was standing here. And we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you weren't here last year, or maybe you don't remember. But the fact is, God is new, God is fresh every day. And I pray that he will speak to us afresh today as we celebrate Pentecost. Or as on the newsletter it says, on the filling up, fueled up. Are we filled up with God? Today we were remembering when this, as Phil has reminded us, when the Holy Spirit came. And we won't read it all, but you know the story, hopefully. Even if it's just from a Sunday school memory, that things happened in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 4, Jesus had something to say. And these were some of the last words that Jesus said before he left them. And we always think, don't we, the last words that people tell you, they're worth listening to. They may be they know it's the last time they're going to see you. They're going to say something really important. And what does he say? Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, for the gift my Father promised. So he's saying, Father God has promised this. So it isn't just a maybe. This is a God promise. And you've heard me speak about it. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Words of Jesus. And to me, however many things we might struggle with in the Bible, when Jesus has said it, then maybe we ought to listen to it and take note of it. And only a few moments later, he went on to say, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the rest of the world. And as Phil's reminded us, the rest of the world also brought in Godston all those years ago. He didn't just stay in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus said, let's start here. But you don't know, guys, but actually I've got a place in a town called Godston, in a place called England, which hasn't really been invented yet, that I'm going to spread the word. We were reminded last week, and we've been reminded again this morning, how Jesus had to leave the limitations of being a human being. The human form limited him. He could only be in one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit came, when he left and released this Holy Spirit, he can be everywhere, all of the time, in each one of us. And when this happened, when you read in here, when we see that the disciples didn't really understand. What does this mean? What are we to do? I don't understand. Jesus said, you will be baptized with or in. Apparently, if you're a Greek scholar, you will know that it's the same word to mean both, with or in. So we mustn't get lost in semantics of certain words. But the Holy Spirit is upon us, within us, becomes part of us. Jesus said, that will happen. So if Jesus said it was going to happen, it's happened. I believe at the moment we acknowledge our need for a Saviour, when we repent, when we receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers us, when we accept Him as Lord, at that moment, I believe we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The more I've looked at this, and the more I've studied this, and there's so many books, and so many views, and so many ideas, but to me, we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept the Lord into our lives. When we acknowledge that we need Him. When we acknowledge that we can't manage on our own anymore. And God, in His love and mercy, empowers us to live a life totally dedicated to Him. That, I believe, is the plan when Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. You might still say, okay, what does that mean? What is that all about? I believe there's a number of stages, a number of expressions of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The first one, I believe, is that initial realization that we've been born again. If you this morning have ever asked Jesus into your life, and I pray that we all have, and if not, that we will have before we leave today, that moment we ask Him, and we just know, don't we? We just know. I remember the night I did it, and someone said to me, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you. Because you need forgiving. And I said, yeah, I know I do. I've done some awful things. But He'll forgive you. And He'll come into your life. And He'll change you. And when I woke up the following morning, I just knew the Holy Spirit had come in. You just know. You just know. And then as we ask and seek the Lord in our daily lives, the Holy Spirit enables us to turn our lives over to Him. For some of us, it can seem to take longer than others for our lives to be changed, to be more like Jesus. In that particular event, when I was, as a student, I was away on this mountaineering course, which was a Christian mountaineering course. And all the way to this event, I was going for the mountaineering, that was all. It happened to be a Christian. Well, that's fine, I'm British, so I'm Christian, so what more do you need? That was how I felt at the time, that's all that mattered. And I was apparently telling them all about me and telling them all about all sorts of things on the way in the minibus, which I know was making them go, oh my word, what have we brought this man with us? But on the way back, they were telling me how I'd changed. And as life goes on, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. He wants to change us. I understand this morning the children are going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit in their junior church. And the Holy Spirit will cause this to happen in our lives. As we have accepted the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. We all maybe know some of them, if not all of them. Maybe because one or two of them we really struggle with. The ones that are always special to me are patience, because I struggle with that. Self-control, because I struggle with that. But the Holy Spirit is in me, working in me, so that I become more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, more faithful, more kind, more good and gentle, and more self-control. Paul reminds the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, daily we are being transformed. So although we initially have received that Holy Spirit on that day we accepted Jesus, it's a constant thing. We constantly need refilling. Jesus said himself, "The Holy Spirit will teach and remind you everything I've ever said," John 14. "He will guide you into all truth," John 16. "He will clothe you with power," Luke 24. "Power to witness," Acts 1 we just read. Jesus himself said, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to, this is why I need to go. Because all these things can happen for all of you when the Holy Spirit comes. The prophet Joel had foretold it. Now it has finally happened. And you can read either in Joel or what Peter himself used those very words from Joel in Acts 2. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." And they even qualify it. Sons, daughters, young men, old men, servants, men, women. Pretty well covers everybody, I think. It's going to be on for everybody. It has finally happened. Okay, Lord, thank you. That's great. But is this my experience? Has this been my experience? Is it my experience today? Is it reality for me? Do I know that infilling of the Holy Spirit? Am I, yes, I am sure, I've been born again. Or yes, I'm sure of that, but the fruit, well, I don't seem very fruitful. There doesn't seem to be a lot happening in my life. It seems only each of us knows where we are this morning. But I believe the Lord wants to encourage us where we can be, where we should be, where He designed us to be. I've got one of these things. You've seen these things? Yeah? Of course you have. Well, this has got loads of icons or whatever you call them on here. Apps the word, is it? Yeah? But I must say, to me, this is for ringing people up and having a chat. I now text as well, as my daughter will tell you. But there's loads more stuff on there. Do I really need all of that? And you're all thinking, well, silly man, why doesn't he use it? They're so helpful. Okay, so it's a bad example, but do you get the drift? We can be like this with God. We can say, well, okay, Lord, you want to give us all those things, but hey, I don't need all of that. My life's fine. You've saved me. Thanks, Lord. I'm going to heaven when I die. But actually, we've got to live a life, haven't we? Maybe I ought to actually find out and make use of all these things, because life would be so much more fulfilled. Maybe I have so much more purpose. And you do say, Jesus, don't you, that you've come to give me life in all its fullness, to give me abundant life. Is that our reality today? Are we truly embracing what God has done in sending His Holy Spirit? Because I believe that as we truly allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and among us, we will become the body of Christ. All of us, the body of Christ, who meets here in this building. But I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes. The passage today that is on the front of our newsletter, Ephesians 5, and many of the letters that Paul has writes to the church, are acknowledging this very fact that there's problems, you struggle. But I think the first thing that we need to realize is this is what was given to all of us when we accepted Christ. Be filled with the Spirit, it says in verse 18. The whole passage talks there from verse 8, that you were once in darkness. That was the old life, but you're now in the light. You're living a new life. The Holy Spirit has come into you and changed you. Don't slip back into the old life. Don't allow the devil to taunt you and persuade you that other things are better, are more fun. the letter to Galatians, don't live by the flesh, live by the Spirit. Daily we need filling. It's a bit like, again, a bit of a weak example, I suppose, but when we bought our new car, I went along to the garage. It was all nice and shiny. I forget whether it was the last car or not, but even had a bunch of flowers for Mary. But the tank was full, and away we went. And there's this new gadget now on this car, it did, how far you can go. You know, the range of this car with the amount of petrol you've got. 454 miles. Wow! 454 miles. They gave it to me. Now, if I got to the end of 454 miles, I thought, oh, well, this is a bit of a rubbish car. Look, we've stopped. I need to get more fuel. They don't give you all of it for the rest of your life. Well, they didn't when I bought my car. Maybe they did when you bought yours. You know, fuel for life. Just come in any time and we'll fill your car up. Okay, yet so often we're like that with God. And he knows that we can't manage on our own. That's why he says daily we need to be filled. Refill. Top up every day. Some days you may feel like the whole tank's empty. Please, Lord, help me. It's been just worn out. Other days we may just need a simple top up. But I believe all of this is part of this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which is causing the fruit of the Spirit to ripen. Because in this passage, it goes on to say, Paul does, from verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart. That always seemed a very strange thing. Do I go around singing and reading psalms to each other? That seems a bit of an odd thing to do. But it's not actually as odd as it sounds. It's talking about fellowship, together, being together with brothers and sisters, that you share the joys of the Lord, you share the experiences. That's what we do in life groups. We share life together. So we can share the ups and the downs. We can sing and encourage one another. And we can give thanks to God. So easy, as the writer to Hebrews says, don't neglect to meet together. We need one another to encourage us, to remind us the Holy Spirit lives within you. Have you asked for a fresh filling today? Or are you still trying to run on last week's? Or are you running on empty? Which means you're not running at all. The other aspect of the Holy Spirit is quite clear that, which I sort of missed, even as a young Christian, what happened when that morning came. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. 120 of them, it seems, were all together in one place. And something truly amazing happened. And all these things that I've just mentioned began in their lives. But also something even more powerful happened, because Jesus did also say, not only you remember all the things I've told you, not all the things that I'll remind you of and guide you in all truth. He also said, I'm going to clothe you with power. Power. Do we want to be clothed with power? See, the impact on that day in Jerusalem was felt, as Phil's reminded us, right the way through 2016 or whatever it is years later. Maybe not quite that many. We're not sure of the exact number. But we're still feeling the effect of what happened at Pentecost. Because that 120 just didn't stay in the room and had a nice time. They went out and began to demonstrate the power of God in the community. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. And after the Holy Spirit came, they began to be his witnesses. And I believe as God's people, if we can truly embrace the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Okay, this isn't something we've got to go and find. He's given it to us. Then the church, the community where we live, will be transformed. See, the gifts, the power of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. And that is often the problem. Because it's beyond my capabilities. And I think this is something that the church has struggled with. I know it's something I struggled with. You mean, Lord, you want to give me something that I can't actually control? No. He said, you can control it, but it's from me. Not to be confused with our natural gifts, which are transformed, I believe, as the Holy Spirit lives in us. He will transform our gifts, transform our abilities, and enhance things so that we can do things that we've never thought possible. I used to be very shy and retiring and hiding under the chair when I was younger. I'm not hiding under the chair now because, well, I've just trained to go to a speaking school. Never went to a train to a speaking school. But I believe the Holy Spirit can enhance something that into something new. I've often seen people in other places, like with the music. Oh, that, well, I'm not really very good. I can't possibly... I can play a few notes. Well, play a few notes. Give those few notes to God and see what He can do with them. But now God's also saying, I'm going to give you something that is out of your control, in the sense of out of your ability. When Peter stood up and preached, he said, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. They will prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. I will pour out my spirit in those days. You see, like that phone, there's all sorts of things that are available to me, but do I actually want to embrace what's available to me on the phone? Do I want to embrace what God has made available to me through the Holy Spirit? Jesus said himself that we would do greater things than he did. Wow, are we actually feeling we're doing even what, as good as he did? He said, no, use the gifts, use the abilities I've given you, use what I will give you through the Holy Spirit, and greater things you will do. Now, I know that in Corinthians, Paul talks to the church there and names sort of nine particular ones. And there are others. But I think the nine that's listed there can give me enough problems to receive. Wisdom. Why would I want a gift of wisdom? Well, Jesus used the gift of wisdom. And if Jesus used it, I think he wants us to use it. I haven't got many references because of time, but for example, the woman taken in adultery. Jesus was so wise in his answer. Read the story and you'll see how wise he was, and everything changed because of that word of wisdom. I mean, James in his letter actually says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. God wants to give you wisdom. Not your natural ability, not your schooling or intellect, because that relies on you or me and the schooling and the background and the encouragement from parents maybe. Now this is something from God that will give a word of wisdom that can transform a situation. Words of knowledge. Jesus with the woman at the well. He had a word of knowledge because she was trying to sort of cover up the fact of all the husbands she'd had and all the sort of life she'd lived. But he went straight to it and it changed her and changed that community dramatically. Another word of knowledge I saw there was with Nathaniel. When he said to Nathaniel, I saw you even before Stephen called you. Whoa, says Nathaniel, this is not natural. This is supernatural. And I think that's what we need to remember. Supernatural. Not weird, not wrong, but supernatural. Beyond our natural capabilities. Many times we read that Jesus healed them. He healed them all. He healed him. He healed her. Healing is, there's so many references to healing. It's a supernatural gift. Miracles. The gift of miracles God wants to give us through the Holy Spirit. Luke 17, verse 19. 10 lepers. Only one was made whole. Have you ever seen anyone with leprosy? I only had the opportunity once, and it was really, really tragic. I was in a little remote village in Romania many years ago, and this, I've seen what it's like. I'm sure some of you have, and we've all seen pictures. Those nine that didn't come back, they were healed, but the leper had a miracle, because the one who came back was made whole. Whatever had disappeared, whatever had dropped off with the leprosy had been restored. I've seen amazing things that are not just someone getting well, which is healing, but a complete miracle. I was with a dear brother whose leg grew 4 inches when he was prayed for. That is not just something that you imagine. It grew because he'd walked with a limp all his life. And God not only healed him of that limp, he grew his leg. Prophecy, edification, exhortation, comfort. These are things that the church needs to be built up. God wouldn't offer us gifts that just, well, you know, not much use really. Prophesy, no. We want to be encouraging one another with the word of God. Then we need this supernatural gift. It builds up the church. It builds us up. He mentions discerning of spirits. Is this of God or is this not of God? These are important gifts that we need to be aware of. We haven't the time to go into the detail of it all. I'd love to at another time to do that. And then there's tongues. And interpret. Ah, now that's it. Now you've gone a bit too far now. Tongues, that's just... Well, it's the funny thing is, it's the first demonstration of the Holy Spirit on these apostles as they met. Well, 120 of them. Not just the apostles, but 120. The very first evidence, they started speaking in strange languages. Languages that they didn't know, but obviously those people who were listening did. And I've been in the place where one particular Hungarian lady I was with, she was this in the 1980s, and before communism fell, and we were in a meeting there, and she began to pray and praise God in English. And to her, she was speaking in a tongue, because she didn't understand English at all. It was the most beautiful prayer, and it really encouraged us that God is moving amongst the people. I think it's one of those things that is so supernatural because it is not of human organization, human thinking. But I believe tongues that from God, through the Holy Spirit, can tell God how much we love him when we just run out of words. I don't know whether you ever do that. I run out of words. You just don't know how more you can say, how much you love him. You want to tell God how you feel so bad, so the things like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that. And sometimes you just don't know, do you ever get that, you just don't know how to say it? Sometimes you want to pray for someone, and you don't know quite what to say. The situation seems so difficult, so, oh Lord, I don't know how to put the words. He'll give you words. And also it builds you up. These guys, I think, were so built up, so, wow, this is amazing. God's word has come true. What Jesus has said has come true. What we knew in the prophet Joel, it's happening to you and me. It's happening to us. And the people were amazed. I do believe in the context of a meeting, if it's said publicly, then there's interpretation, and Paul talks about the interpretation as well. Well, I just touched on these because we can so easily miss out on all that God wants for us. Yes, we want to be more kind, more gentle, more self-controlled, more loving. But do we also want to see the power of God in our lives, to transform lives and to transform the situations that we are? And the great, shall we say, indicator that this is of God is that whenever the Holy Spirit moves in power, it always centralizes on Jesus and glorifies him. Because these gifts are given when they're needed. I personally do not believe that anyone should stand up and say, I have the gift of healing. No. God is the one who heals. He may use you to heal. He may not. But God is the one who gets the glory. And so often we've heard in other places, people say, I have a ministry of this or a gift of that. It's dangerous when we start thinking that way. God will give us what we need. Some back time ago, for those of you who are here, I brought a toolkit along with me once. I believe we've all been given the toolkit. And when we needed to get the tool out, we should do. When God wants us to use the gift, He'll ask us to get it out and to use it. It may well be there's some gifts that we'll never ever use. It's God's will, it's God's prerogative. But He exhorts us on so many occasions, be filled with the Spirit. We used to have a saying in our old church down in Devon, a sort of jocular sort of thing really, but were you saved right? Did you get the full gospel, the good news, or did you get half the good news? Come to Jesus, He'll love you and He'll forgive you. Hallelujah, amen, that's true. But there's so much more than that. He wants to give us a life to live now, an abundant life for eternity. We started eternal life when we met Jesus. And all these wonderful things He wants to bestow upon us. It's all for free. Maybe we didn't get things fully explained. I certainly, when I became a Christian, the Holy Spirit was actually spoken in the Baptist church where I was, that was for the apostles. When the Bible closed, the Holy Spirit's work closed. These things are not of God. And I, being a young man, believed the dear brother who said that, until another dear brother actually pointed out that this is a living word, and it is for today, and not just for the past. Maybe you were like that. Maybe this morning you feel all leaked out. That I did experience the Spirit moving. I did feel the boldness and the confidence. And I even, yes, sort of maybe used a gift once or twice. But now, Lord, I feel all leaked out, all empty. Well, I really believe God wants to meet with us this morning, each one of us. He doesn't want any one of us to leave here not filled with the Spirit. Because that's our right in Christ. Our birthright, our new birth in Christ means that we are filled with the Spirit. And as the text from Ephesians reminds us, be filled. Don't let the world crowd in and push things out. We're going to share bread and wine together. Lord Jesus, in that, gave up everything. He gave up His life for you and me. He didn't hold anything back. He allowed Himself to be separated from His Father. Never in the whole of time had He ever been separated. They are one. They are three in one, as we'll hear next week. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet He loves us so much that He was prepared to separate and to become sin in our place. And we're going to remember that in a few moments. Jesus offered everything for me. Well, am I prepared to offer myself to Him? And do we want to take up all that He's offering us? The fullness of the Holy Spirit, to live a life that is full and abundant. I pray that all of us will. We're going to sing a song in a minute. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I know in my own experience, wherever I've been today, Lord, I want You to fall afresh on me by the power of Your Spirit. And if we could sing that now together. And if that's your desire, if you want more of God and you want to be filled, maybe not understanding all the implications. I don't understand all the implications. I just know when God fills you, it's a bit, whoa, here we go. I'm not sure, but I'm going, Lord. And I know it will be blessed. We will be blessed. If that's your desire, then as we sing this, do stand to sing it. But if you're not sure about this, then don't stand. Sit, sing it, or not at all. But I want to exhort you, encourage you, that this is because God loves us, that he wants to fill us with his Spirit. And will we dare to let trust him with the implication of what that might mean? Maybe just we'll become more fruitful. Just more fruitful. We say that a lot in English, don't we? I just want to say this. It's a major thing. I want to be fruitful, Lord. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be available to move in any way you want me to.